Several years ago, my husband Scott and I took a trip to Yellowstone. As we drove through the park, listening to the audio guide that we had purchased, we came upon an area filled with the remains of burnt, charred trees, clearly the result of a forest fire. It was disturbing, to be sure. And then we heard the guide speaking to us through our car radio, and he was informing us that fire is not always a bad thing for a forest. In fact, he continued, fire is actually a good thing, controlled and not too intense. Apparently, the heat from fire opens up the seed pods that hold the seeds that, when they spill out, can regenerate new trees. Without fire, some trees and plants would reach old age with no new generations to carry on their legacy. In other words, some trees and plants might actually become extinct without the heat contained in fire. As Scott and I looked around at the desolate land around us, we first found this hard to believe. But as we looked closer, we saw little green saplings arise out of the earth. We saw new life. And if we looked really closely with our imagination, we could see a whole big, full forest emerging. This experience came back to me as I prayed with today's gospel, one that I consider to be fairly difficult gospel. I mean, surely Christ calls us to peace and unity. Luke introduces Jesus as the Prince of Peace. And in John's gospel, Jesus prays that we all may be one as he and his Father are one. Paul often speaks of unity. We are members of one body, the body of Christ. And in each liturgy, the priest prays that Christ graciously grant us peace and unity in accordance with his will. Scripture and tradition seem clear. Peace and unity are clearly God's will for us, God's desire for us. Yet here in today's gospel, we have Jesus oh so clearly and oh so disturbingly speaking of division, of disturbing the peace. We may think he came to establish peace on earth, he tells us. But like Jeremiah and other prophets in the Old Testament, Jesus actually came to disturb the peace, to stir things up, to bring about division. Just like prophets today stir things up and bring about division. Think of the words often uttered by the recently deceased Congressman John Lewis. Speak up. Speak out. Get in the way. Get in good trouble. Necessary trouble. Jesus and the prophets before him, as well as prophets today, seem to be telling us that we may have to disturb the peace in order to find the peace. That sometimes we have to light a fire so that new life can emerge. Jesus was a visionary and an idealist, to be sure, but Jesus was also a realist. Jesus knew our human potential, and he knew our human brokenness. He saw us as we could be, and he saw the world as it could be, and he saw the world as it was. By the time Jesus uttered the words that we hear in today's gospel, Jesus had lived and walked amongst us for somewhere around 30 years. He knew our human woundedness. Time and again in the scriptures, Jesus calls out our quest for power and esteem and security, because Jesus knew that each one of those kept us self-focused, kept us focused on our own individual good rather than the common good. And so while Jesus longs for us to live in unity, and while Jesus longs for us to love one another as he loves us and experience a glimpse of the kingdom of God here on earth, Jesus knows our struggles. He knows that in our efforts to call out evil and, yes, even misinformation, we may have to shake a few trees, rattle a few bushes. In other words, we may have to get into trouble, good trouble. Because Christ knows that before true communion can occur, we must first seek justice and inclusiveness and forgiveness and healing, and not just for some, but indeed for all. That is the work before us today, just as it was the work before those in Jesus' day. True peace is not an absence of conflict. Contrary to peace at any price, true peace and communion demands a price. We must learn to lean into conflict, sometimes even foster it. Because while conflict may seem contrary to unity, contrary to new life, and may even look like death as it divides us for a time, ultimately, if we are open and patient, conflict can lead us to new life, can lead us to true peace and true unity. Because you see, each of us are prophets. And when we use our voice to insert Christ's voice into our very real life situations, we shake things up a bit. When we see something that is not right, we speak up. And whether that is around the family dinner table or in a difficult conversation with a friend, writing a letter to an editor, or commenting on a Facebook post, whether that is making phone calls to an elected official or marching in a nonviolent protest, we speak up. We speak up when we ask probing questions. We speak up when we think critically rather than blindly believing what we hear and what we read. We speak up when we faithfully, hopefully, lovingly seek truth and speak that truth. And when we speak up, we often light a fire. We get into trouble, good trouble, necessary trouble, as only from speaking up and speaking out, along with our prophetic action, will true peace and true communion be attained. Today's gospel tells us that Jesus came to set the world on fire. He did not promise that it would be easy or immediate, as much as Jesus tells us he wished it was so. Jesus had to trust that new life would emerge from the conflict that led to his passion and death. And so too are we called to trust that new life will emerge when we set that fire for justice and inclusiveness and radical love. And when we set those fires, new life can emerge, just like new life emerged from the charred remains of the trees in Yellowstone. The second reading today tells us we do not do this work alone. We are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, witnesses who have predeceased us, on whom we can call upon in prayer, and witnesses who walk amongst us today, witnesses who may even help us start a few fires, good fires, necessary fires, and in so doing, bring us closer to the true peace and unity that God desires for each of us and for our world.